Welcome to episode 3 of the Counter Propaganda Podcast. Current block height is 931,422, and you can currently buy 799 sats for one Canadian dollar. I'm Caribou, and in this episode, I'm speaking to Dr. Ahmad Amous about salt. Dr. Amous, thank you for being here to share your expertise and to expose the pervasive false narratives about salt.
Thank you for having me, Caribou.
My pleasure. So to those unfamiliar with the terms propaganda and counter-propaganda, I'll do a very brief review. Propaganda is persuasive messaging designed to manipulate and mislead people, done in service of an agenda. And propaganda distorts facts to create emotional appeals that bypass rational thought. And propaganda is always created by an entity for a specific objective. Counterpropaganda is a strategic set of communication used to expose and neutralize that hostile propaganda by revealing lies, discrediting deceptive messaging, and offering an alternative truthful narrative. So in the next 21 minutes, we're going to cover three primary points. Number one, what is the propaganda around salt that's being fed to us? Number two, who created that propaganda and why? And number three, what is the truth about salt? So we're going to cover that today. This counter-propaganda episode is sponsored by endinflationcanada.com. If you haven't been there, check it out. If you know someone who's ready to hear the truth about fraudulent currency, send them there. That's who we've designed it for. You can also donate there if you want to support the show. And at the end of the day, the most impactful thing that you can do is share this episode with someone who still thinks salt is bad for them and is curious enough and open-minded enough to hear the truth. So let's dive in. Dr. Amous, what is the propaganda around salt being bad for us? What are the false narratives out there that people might hear or might believe?
Yeah, so I'm a physician. I'm an internal medicine physician. In my medical training, I received 40 minutes of education about diet, just 40 minutes. Modern medicine doesn't think that nutrition is important to the conditions that you have in your body, which is a very fiat, very pharmaceutical-based approach of looking at the body. And because we don't target root cause, we just want to sell pills. But if there's one thing that I was taught in medical school is that salt is bad for you. And because of all the wrong things that I was taught in med school, I started to question everything. And I started to question the salt narrative, and I did my own research. And what I was found was pretty eye-opening. So in the 1950s, there was an increased rates of heart disease throughout the industrialized world, throughout the Western world. So all the best researchers were out there trying to figure out why that's the cause. What's causing this? One researcher by the name of Lewis Dahl suggested a theory that, so we know that if you separate two things by membranes, and this is membrane is water permeable, the water will move to where there's more salt. So his theory was, oh, if people eat more salt, more water is going to go into their blood vessels, which increases increases how full plump those blood vessels are, which increases blood pressure, and that is what leads to heart disease. So, I mean, it sounds logical on paper, but does the data actually prove that? Can you experimentally prove that? In order to prove it, he went and fed a lot of mice many, many, many grams of salt, a lot more than what any human being can tolerate. And he saw that their blood pressure goes up, and he said, oh, okay, so salt is the cause of elevated blood pressure. And then he did studies where he looked at isolated tribes that haven't been touched by industrialization, and he saw that they had lower salt intake than the normal industrialized cities or industrialized population. And they also had lower blood pressure. So he attributed this to the salt, that salt is the cause of high blood pressure. The issue with these two studies is the first one, the rat study, is these rats were fed huge amounts of salt that no human beings would tolerate. They are already in an artificial environment where they're fed artificial feed. So they're... You can't extrapolate data from mice to human beings. That's number one. Number two, the study about the tribes. So tribes, it's not only salt that they're eating less of compared to industrialized people. They're also eating less sugar, less processed food, less vegetable seed oils, They have less obesity and less stress, and they're also outside and getting a lot more sun. So all of these factors could be a reason why they don't have as much hypertension. But he wanted to just stick it to the salt. Then another researcher by the name of Kempner, he did a famous experiment called the Kempner Rice Diet, where he brought subjects and he put them on a very, very extreme diet where they were basically only eating salt and maybe some fruit. And that's it. So there was no salt. Sorry, they were eating rice and fruit. No salt, no fat, no meat, nothing, just rice and some fruit. And these subjects lost a lot of weight. And they also dropped their blood pressure. So he attributed this again to, oh, if you don't eat salt, your blood pressure gets better. If you actually analyze his studies, you see that these people had a lot of problems sticking to this diet. It caused them a lot of electrolyte abnormalities. They didn't feel good on it. A lot of them cheated. There's actually reports of him actually punishing people who cheated on that diet because it was that extreme. So those experiments by Dal and the Kempner Rice experiments were used by 1977 US guideline dietary recommendations that people need to cut down their salt intake. This is not a very scientific way of looking at things. They hand selected a few studies to propagate that message. And once they started recommending that, the USDA, the World Health Organization, NIH, hospitals, and medical societies all started recommending this, all based on faulty evidence. Okay? So there was a lot of propaganda of how we got to that point. And since 1977, that message has been stuck and we haven't really gotten out of it. But what does the data actually show? Does salt actually increase your blood pressure? Does salt increase heart disease? If you look at actual studies, actual data that were done correctly, you see that maybe in certain subjects you can reduce blood pressure by around 1% if you reduce salt intake. But that comes at very negative consequences on the body because it puts the body at a stress state to try and hold on to salt. And it increases insulin resistance. It causes electrolyte abnormalities. It causes fatigue, muscle weight wasting, and it lowers, worsens thyroid function. So even if there's a minor benefit on blood pressure, the disadvantages of lowering salt are highly detrimental. Also, studies have shown that societies with higher salt intake tend to live longer. So that's another study. And even with subjects who you can drop their blood pressure by reducing their salt intake, these people are so-called salt sensitive. These people, their main problem is that they're insulin resistant. What leads to salt sensitivity is being insulin resistant or being metabolically unhealthy. And salt is not the reason that causes this insulin resistance. It's processed foods and processed sugar, white sugar. So metabolic dysfunction is the problem, not salt. So we are still following those defective guidelines that were written in 1977. And it's not really clear why we stuck on to this propaganda and this faulty advice. There's no really clear link of who's benefiting from this. There's no clear one to two link. But if you just want to question this a little bit, having salt be the enemy is a very good scapegoat for the processed food industry that's been pushing sugar and vegetable seed oils on us. If you try and make salt the villain, then nobody's looking at what sugar and what processed vegetable seed oils are doing. And this has basically been the same sort of propaganda that they used in the fight against cholesterol and saturated animal fat. There is actually evidence of showing that researchers that were looking into saturated animal fat rather than sugar as the cause of heart disease, they got funding, direct funding from food industry. You can't really see that in the salt research, but you can see what how this data, who it is benefiting.
Fascinating. So it started off potentially with good intentions, although with myopic studies that, extrapolated things that really, when you look at it as a whole, are not actually valid extrapolations or assumptions. And then it turned into this convenient scapegoat to take the magnifying glass off of the actual causes, which is crappy food, processed food, seed oil sludge. And it's interesting when I looked into salt. I see so many problems that develop because of a salt deficiency. So perhaps this isn't some evil genius saying, I want to make people sick by continuing to tell them salt is bad. But in effect, it is actually resulting in much more business for pills by removing people's mineral intake. And so that was a really well said explanation of sort of where the propaganda around salt being bad for us came from and sort of who created it. And maybe it's not as sinister as I potentially thought. But let's get into the truth about salt. So, for someone who's like, okay, that's outdated information, it's still shocking that that's still taught in medical school, despite it being pretty easily debunked as not valid information and potentially even harmful information. It's like, it's not even that this isn't accurate. It's actually this recommendation actually propagates a lot of disease when you look into the mineral deficiencies and how that materializes in second, third, fourth order effects. What is the truth about salt? What do people need to know about salt? If someone's like, okay, I understand that that's not true. What do I do with salt? Should I salt my food? What are the benefits that can come from salt? What's the truth about salt? And maybe not even in terms of a prescriptive sort of mindset, because obviously everyone's different, everyone's circumstances are different. It's impossible to give a blanket recommendation. But for you in your life, you're a human. You're a physician, you're very well informed, you're a critical thinker. I commend you on going outside of what's taught in medical school, because I think if more physicians did that, there would probably be pushback to say we need to change what's being taught. So thank you for being the black sheep that's going down that route. But in your life, how do you think of salt? Do you deem it as necessary? Do you use it liberally? How do you think of salt in terms of your consumption as a healthy human?
Yeah, so I mean, salt is an essential nutrient. You cannot live without salt. Some Bitcoiners will know this, but old societies used to use salt as money because it was so valuable and so important.
That's where salary
So,
came from. The word salary is from salt. And even the saying, you're not worth your salt. I mean, salt used to be highly valuable before we could produce it easily.
salt is very, very highly valuable. And, human beings and most creatures on the planet emerged from marine animals that came from the sea. And it's pretty incredible that our concentration of salt in the body is identical across all these species and similar to what was in the sea, because a certain ratio from what was in the sea, because all these functions depend on proper salt balance in the body. Okay? So you definitely need salt. Your body has an inherent mechanism in it where it gives you cravings for only the right amount of salt. If you feel like you need to salt your food, then you need salt. Your body also has a very sensitive threshold where if you're eating too much salt, you just stop craving the salty food. And so this is a very fine balance. It's very difficult to overeat salt. Okay? So, my recommendation is salt food according to flavor. Don't try and minimize salt. What are some of the important functions of salt? Well, it's needed for proper hormonal and neuronal signaling. All those signals that happen in your body, how neurons communicate with each other, that's based on salt. You need it in order to for your cells to function properly. You need it in order to hydrate yourself and sweat properly so that you detox your body. All these things you need salt for. And the effects of having not enough salt on the body are quite detrimental.
Yeah, I was looking up, what are symptoms of mineral deficiencies? And I think probably there's something to be said about the fact that not all salt is the same. Our family is pretty particular in how we buy our salt and where it comes from to make sure that it's natural and just super mineral dense instead of just this. It's funny how our food now is super rich in sugar and calories, but deficient in nutrients. And I think we've done kind of the same thing with our salt. So I'd love to know your take on if you have an opinion about what salt people could be looking to buy. But when I was looking into symptoms of mineral deficiencies, this list is so big I couldn't even cover it all. Everything from acne, hair thinning, allergies, low immunity, hormonal imbalances, low testosterone, low libido. That's just from zinc. And you have iron, selenium, copper, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, iodine. All these small micronutrients that in isolation, we can't say, well, if you have low this, then you're definitely going to get this. But when you take it as this combination of all of these minerals that we're not probably getting enough of because we're not consuming enough salt, which is a huge container for a lot of these minerals. I have this perspective where the body is literally incredibly intelligent, knows what to do, and functions perfectly if we use it as intended. And so all these little breakdowns, all these micro things, slow metabolism, thyroid issues, muscle cramps, dizziness, anemia, low bone density. It's like if we take the assumption the body functions flawlessly, why are all these things happening? And I think the stickiness of this myth of salt being bad for us and people avoiding salt is probably partly responsible for all these little things that are just not functioning well in the body, within a body that is actually designed to function flawlessly. So how picky are you with your salt? Is there any particular kind of salt that you recommend? And we're getting close to the 21 minutes, so I'd love to know, where can people find out more about you? Because you're just a wealth of knowledge. Obviously, you have your website, you have your X profile, but yeah, I guess firstly is what kind of salt should we be looking at? Does it matter? And then two is where can people find out more about you? And again, grateful for your time today. Very generous.
Thank you. So, first of all, I mean, what I tell people is don't be too picky about the salt source, because some people are, oh, if I'm traveling and I can't find the salt that I like, then I'm gonna stop eating salt. No, even regular white table salt is good enough. So, because you need any kind of salt is good enough.
Gotcha.
The typical, a lot of like the salt that we see in the typical supermarket, it tends to include other preservatives or anti-caking agents or stuff. So I'll try and avoid that. It's always better to use land salt rather than sea salt. Land salt tend to be more full of minerals. So some options are like Himalayan crystal salt, which is pink in color, and it's pink because it includes other minerals. It's a little bit difficult to tell which Himalayan is pure or from a good source versus just sometimes they just get pink salt and label it as Himalayan. So it's a little tricky. Redmond salt is very good for people who are in North America. It comes from Colorado, I think. And Celtic sea salt is also very good. So these are
Good to know.
several brands. It is, I mean, if you get more expensive salt, it tends to be a little bit more full of minerals. But even the cheapest salt out there is still good for you.
Yeah, don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Exactly.
Brilliant. And where can people find out more about you if they want to follow
Yeah,
you?
so I mean, yeah, I'm most active on X at AmmousMD. I also have an Instagram account and my website, AmmousMD.com, where I also offer a free newsletter and online consultations.
Brilliant. Well, Dr. Moose, thank you very much for your time and your wisdom. To everyone listening, thanks for being here. Hopefully, that gives you a fresh perspective on salt and maybe gives you, a condensed short podcast that you can recommend to friends and family who still think that salt is bad for them. I know I have a lot of those people in my family, so I'm excited to send them this. And appreciate your time. To everyone listening, check out endinflationcanada.com. That's where we can target the root cause of all these problems that we have. A lot of the propaganda and a lot of the medical problems in the medical field, I think, stem from broken money. If we fix the money, we can begin fixing all of our problems, which includes healthcare to a big extent and food, which is sort of both core related topics what we're talking about today. Thanks for being here. We'll catch you next episode.